Anybody here that's very new to Krishna consciousness? Okay. One of the most celebrated sections of Srimad Bhagavatam is this section of Prahlad Maharaj and his prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev. There's two main sections. One is this section that we're going to be covering, chapter 9. And then following that is chapter 10. Not as many prayers, many verses as this. But the main body, the famous parts of his prayers, often quoted by Srila Prabhupada, fall in this section. As well as separately, there's teachings of Prahlad. Here's a nice... If we could turn these lights out, that would help you be able to see the images. Somebody know how to do that? Whoa, okay, that's good. Okay. This is a painting, well, it's a line drawing of a painting. You'll see the painting in a moment. Commissioned by King Prataparudra. One of Vakreshwara Pandit's disciples was a very skilled artist. The king commissioned him to make a painting indicating the person lying down, paying obeisances here. That's Prataparudra Maharaj. And the location, those of you that have been to Puri, maybe you even recognize the location. It's Narendra Sarovar. That's the Sarovar, that's the water, the waves. And the black and white checkered marble that's around the perimeter of Narendra Sarovar. It's a place where the devotees of Lord Chaitanya would come and engage in various activities. What's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita is there's water sports connected with the Gundicha Marjana and the time spent after Lord Jagannath goes to the Gundicha temple. The person speaking the Bhagavatam here, that's Gadadhar Pandit. Now I happen to know who everybody is because one Bengali artist put everybody's name underneath the person. So that's Gadadhar Pandit, and behind him, well, to his left, is Lord Chaitanya with shaved head. Behind him is Advaitacharya, and to his right is Lord Nityananda with that little scruffy beard, that's Srivas. So the Panchatattva at the center. And Sarup Damodar, and Jagatananda Pandit are seated right behind Gadadhar Pandit. And across from him are Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Ramananda Roy. And standing up, hanging up his clothing, that's Haridas. Though I'm surprised Haridas looks a little chubby. I first saw this on the altar of Anuttama and Rukmini at their home, and I was very charmed by the painting, so they gave me a copy. And part of the reason for showing this just now is if you were the king and you wanted a painting showing you with Lord Chaitanya and his associates, at least if you're an ISKCON, you would want, think it would be Lord Chaitanya engaged in Sankirtan, with arms raised and dancing and chanting with Lord Chaitanya's associates. But here it's King Prataparudra having the artist depict the devotees sitting and hearing Gadadhar Pandit, which means, by inference, that's something that they also regularly did. And the king is in this mood of humility, prostrating himself before all the Vaishnavas. But this behavior or engagement, this activity of the Vaishnavas of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, specifically even from Gadadhar Pandit, is an essential part of the bhakti process that was engaged in Jagannath Puri. In fact, Lord Chaitanya, according to Chaitanya Bhagavat, Lord Chaitanya would daily, after seeing Jagannath, then taking remnants of Jagannath Prasad to Haridas Thakur and engaging in katha with Haridas Thakur, he would go to the Tota Gopinath temple, not far away, dance in ecstasy before Gopinath, and then sit for some time, hours, every day, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit. And every time I say that, I just think about what, too bad they didn't have recording devices. Because what was that experience like? Gadadhar is the internal potency Radharani, reciting Srimad Bhagavatam to Krishna in the mood of Radharani, hearing the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan, or what all the other messages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, what was that like? It was certainly ecstatic. And a little detail about the Gopinath deity. The Gopinath deity, it is said that Lord Chaitanya disappeared through the knee of the Gopinath deity. There's a mark on the deity's knee. So very prominent, very important in his pastimes is the Gopinath deity, naturally, because he's in the mood of the gopis worshipping Krishna, who is Gopinath. The deity today is sitting with folded legs, because when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world, they were almost the same age, Gadadhar and Lord Chaitanya, which means Gadadhar was only 48 years old. But his feelings of separation from Lord Chaitanya were so prominent that he was unable to place the garland and place the ornaments over the and the crown and the turban, etc., on the deity. And so the deity sat down, make it easier for him. And so you see legs, which are only there during the Kartik month. And other than the Kartik month, you don't see legs. You see what you see at the top image, because the deity is cross-legged on the asana. Remarkable. So here's the painting with the Bengali names underneath everybody. And this very same gift of Srimad Bhagavatam is something that our founder Acharya gave to us from the very, very beginning. Before he even came to America, he began the project of translating the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. And as we know, he was very fond of the publishing and the distribution of transcendental knowledge, particularly Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, many other literatures as well. And one of the foremost pieces of this Srimad Bhagavatam is the story of Prahlad. When the Chaitanya Bhagavat says, I like this very much, he would hear the entire pastime of Dhruva, and Prahlad Maharaj again and again. And after hearing it in its entirety, somebody upstairs, after hearing it in its entirety, he would say something we don't say in the Hare Krishna movement. Recite it again. Say it again. Say it again. We want to hear something new and different. But the message of the Bhagavatam is relished by in the association of like-minded persons who want to hear the topics again and again and again. Because by again and again hearing, the sweetness comes, like chewing a gulab jamun or making sandalwood paste. Just rub in circular motion and the fragrance comes out. It's already there in the wood, but it's even more so, more prominent as you're making the sandalwood paste. And it has a very cooling effect. So Srimad Bhagavatam is like that also. Hearing again and again. So since you're all somewhat experienced devotees, it's not that these stories these narrations you haven't heard before, but that the purpose of hearing again and again is so that the sweetness and the pure devotion of Prahlad can rub off on us. Here's Prahlad in Mayapur on Chandan Yatra. And at the beginning of chapter 6, which is the chapter where Prahlad is instructing his classmates, here's what Prabhupada writes in the introduction of the chapter. By accepting the lotus feet of Prahlad Maharaj, who is in the parampara succession, one will be able to understand the mode of spiritual life. In accepting this mode of activity, there is no need for material qualifications. I'm going to go through that again. There's four parts. By accepting the lotus feet of Prahlad Maharaj. Now, how do you accept the lotus feet of Prahlad Maharaj? Because he was present in Satya Yuga, not Satya Yuga anymore. Where do you go to find Prahlad Maharaj to accept his lotus feet? So maybe he doesn't. Maybe it's not possible. But it certainly is possible. And how is it done? Is by hearing from and abiding by the instructions of, or taking the instructions to heart, submitting oneself to the speaker, in this case it's Prahlad. That's how you can accept the lotus feet of someone. Through their instructions, internalizing their instructions, living by their instructions. That's the meaning, accepting the lotus feet. And who is in the parampara succession, that is, he heard from Narada Muni. So what he's speaking is from Narada Muni. He's speaking in the parampara succession. He's authorized and bona fide and qualified. And if we do those two things, accept the lotus feet of Prahlad Maharaj, recognizing he's in the authorized disciplic succession, this part I underlined, one will be able to understand the mode of spiritual life. Now, spiritual life, out there in the spiritual marketplace, there's too many different ideas of what spiritual life is. For us, in simple language, it's bhakti, a bhakti life. But the mode of bhakti is perfectly exhibited by Prahlad Maharaj. mode or the mood, the way, the internal, the heart, the deeper feelings of spiritual life. Later in the 10th chapter, this is chapter we're going to be discussing, chapter 9. Here is reference to chapter 6. Chapter 10, one of Prahlad's prayers, he says to Lord Nrisimhadev, knowing that in this world there's the overwhelming influence of the modes of ignorance and passion on the conditioned souls, knowing this, you have sent me. Sent from where? He's a Vaikunthavasi. He came into this world under the instruction of Lord Vishnu to relieve us, conditioned souls, from the influence of passion and ignorance. Only the bhakti process can do that. Say it again. Only the bhakti process can do that. Because in the mode of goodness, there's also a mix of ignorance and passion, and Shuddha Sattva is accessed by bhakti. So he teaches Vaikuntha life. He lives it by his example and he teaches it by his words. So we'll be able to understand what it is. Just like, so there's theory and then there's the example of the theory. Like say, you know, you can read about ideal household life. And then if you find an ideal household, you go, oh, that's what it looks like. Or brahmachari life. Oh, there's what a brahmachari looks like. It's not everyone is the same, but we have examples. Then it makes the concepts very clear by example. So Prahlad is displaying, he's by his life, he's displaying the mode of spiritual life perfectly. You have to accept his lotus feet, then you can understand it. You can enter into it. And the final is that there's no material qualifications needed. And you'll see this in his prayers. He says it over and over again. Although there's no need for material qualifications, that is, born in a demoniac family, imagine having Hiranyakashipu as your father. Yuck. Etc. No education from the formal education standard. Without, you know, what is his position? Disqualified. No material qualifications, but highly qualified. He's one of our 12 Mahajans. He appears as Haridas Thakur. Now commonly we think of Haridas Thakur as Lord Brahma because we're used to hearing Bhaktivinoda Thakur making that statement in Navadvip Dham Mahatmya when Lord Brahma, after the Brahma Vimohan Leela, went to Mayapur to undergo austerities. Lord Chaitanya appeared before him and told him, you'll take part in my pastimes and you'll become Haridas. That's what we're used to hearing. But in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally declares to Haridas during the Mahaprakash Leela, you're none different than Prahlad. So he has both of these personalities within him, Prahlad and Haridas Thakur. So, you know, such humility and constant remembrance of the personality of Godhead. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught the Shikshastaka, the way by which one can constantly chant the holy name, and the qualities that are described there are the qualities of Prahlad Maharaj, perfectly exemplifying those qualities. And commonly, when we regularly hear Srila Prabhupada speak, he uses this phrase, para dukkha dukkhi, to describe the quality of Prahlad. His dukkha is the distress of others. This phrase, para dukkha dukkhi, so Prahlad wasn't concerned for his own well-being, he was concerned for the well-being of Prabhupada's words, the fools and rascals of this world. He has affection for them. He's distressed by their distress. For him, for myself, I don't need anything. I just remember you. And everything's nice. But there are so many people that are struggling, and that's too painful for me. So this is the Prahlad. Paradukaduki. The phrase is found in Raghunath Das Goswami's book, quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where he's describing Sanatan Goswami. In this book, the title is here, Raghunath Das is saying, I had no taste for spiritual life. I was addicted to material enjoyment, right, Raghunath Das? Addicted to material enjoyment. But the kindness of Sanatan Goswami overwhelmed me. He forced me to drink the nectar of bhakti, and now I can't live without it. So he is kind to the distressed. That's where this phrase comes from, para dukkha dukkhi. In Nectar of Devotion, there's a similar quote where Prabhupada writes from Nrisinga Purana. Lord Nrisingadeva says, anyone who prays unto me and takes shelter of me becomes my ward. And I will protect him always from all sorts of calamities. We're about ready to begin the prayers. This is just like getting a picture of who is the speaker, Prahlad, and who is he speaking to, his prayers to Lord Nrisingadeva. So we'll get the right perspective. Did Dhruva come visit here? The devotee that has this hidden deities and places of worship of Lord Nrisingadeva. Has he come here with his big book?
He has
not come here. Do you know who he is? Some of you don't know who he is. Dharmatma's son, Dhruva, he first appeared in the Back to Godhead magazine some years ago because, like some of you, he grew up in a devotee family. And from childhood, he had a fascination of Lord Nrisingadeva. And so it grew and grew and grew, and it's still growing and growing. So he saved up his pennies and nickels and dimes. And got. But when he was old enough to travel, 18, 19 something, he went to India to visit temples of Jagannath, the temples of Nrisingadeva. Took pictures and did a Back to Godhead article on his visit to Ahovalam. That was like the center of it. But he didn't stop there. He went all over and took photographs. And he's so enthusiastic. So one of the... our paths crossed somewhere in Florida in December or something like that. And he was like just bubbling over to Sringa Bhakti. And one of the things that he shared, it's specific to this, it's not just Vaishnavas that worship Lord Nrisingadeva. He went on for about 20 minutes about Shaivites worship Lord Nrisingadeva, Muslims worship Lord Nrisingadeva, because it gave specific examples, the places that he visited where this is the case, because they all see him this way. He is the protector, because there's danger in this world. And he's worshipped as the Supreme Lord who gives protection. Oh, I'll take his word for it. He doesn't make up things. Now, we didn't have time to have any photographs of those places where they worship Lord Nrisimhadev at a mosque, because, you know, in Islam you don't worship deities. It's a no-no. Any case? He's the protector. He always gives protection. That's his nature. He appeared in that particular form, specific for Prahlad Maharaj. For Lord Chaitanya's followers, us, we understand this protection or destruction of obstacles on the path of devotional service, because that's really where danger lies, is the obstacles on the path of devotional service. So, have you noticed that in nectar devotion, of the 64 items of nectar devotion, one of those 64 items is worship of Ganesh? So the devotees asked Prabhupada, why didn't you teach us that one? And Prabhupada said, because if you worship Ganesh and you have your material desires, he will help you overcome the obstacles to fulfill those material desires and you become more entangled. And therefore we worship Lord Nrisimhadev. And the explanation goes like this. From Brahma Samhita, would you like to recite the verse together? Yat pada pallava yogam vidadaya kumbha dvandve pranama samaya isaganadi rajaha vimhantam alam asya jagatrayasya govindamadi purusham tamaham vajami. I put in big letters this kumbha dvandve. You know, we all know what kumbha means, a pot. And dvandve means two. So these two pots, this is how Bhakti Siddhanta has translated it, the pair of tumali, or kumbha, dvandve, protruding from his elephant head. Elephants have this bulge or swell on the top of their head, two of them. In the common use of this term tumali, that's Bhaktisiddhanta's very meticulous English language, but tumali is plural, tumala is a tomb, it's a mound, you know, in Christian culture, people are buried under the ground and they put a little gravestone. But in many cultures, especially a prominent person, they make a tumulus. And the plural is tumuli. It's a mound that marks where that person was buried. You know, an elevated special personality. And so that's what tumuli means. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, whose lotus feet are always held by Ganesha upon the pair of tumali protruding from his elephant head in order to obtain power for the function of destroying all obstacles in the path of progress of the three worlds. The path of progress of the three worlds, that's Karmakanda. And Ganesha removes obstacles for achieving the fruits of Karmakanda rituals. But for Vaishnavas, we don't perform Karmakanda rituals. We perform devotional service. And it says in the verse that it's Govinda, the lotus feet of Govinda upon the tumuli of Ganesha enable him to help people overcome the obstacles in Karmakanda rituals. But that form of Krishna, our Gaudiya Vaishnavas have taught us, that that form of Govinda is Lord Nrisingadev. And it's Lord Nrisingadev's feet on Ganesha's head, on his pair of tumuli. So for the devotees, it's the lotus feet of Lord Nrisingadev that removes obstacles in achieving the goal of devotional service. For example, whenever we perform arti, Prabhupada didn't give us all this blah blah explanation. I am. It's if there have been some mistake in the course of carrying out seva, the deity seva, we sing the Nrisinga prayers. Bahir Nrisinga Hridaye Nrisinga Nrisinga Vadim Sharanam Prapadye. To remove any obstacle that may be the result of seva aparad. And in our life of devotion, not just in deity worship, if there's some aparad, if there's some obstacle that arises from our imperfectly performing devotional service, I'm pausing because we generally do make some mistakes in our devotional service. We worship Lord Nrisingadev. And it's a perfect fit for Goloka. There's some obstacles in reaching Goloka. Lord Nrisingadev is a very appropriate deity to worship, to achieve freedom from the obstacles in attaining the spiritual goals of our practice. So, one more, I find it interesting, detail. There's a reference in a book written by Rupa Goswami that details the avatars of the Lord as they appear in this world. Sanatan Goswami's book is Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Diminutive language is Laghu Bhagavatamrita. But it's a really thick book. And it's just describing the avatars of the Lord. That's what the subject matter of the book is. So it speaks of Lord Nrisingadev in this way. Some of the different varieties of avatars are mentioned here, these names. And Paravastha or Shad Aishvarya Purna avatars. That's the category of Lord Nrisingadev. So it starts at the top. Prabhava, some incarnations in the Avesh category, empowered, are the four Kumaras, Narada and Prithu, while Mohini, Dhanvantri, Hansa, Vyasa, Datta, and Shukla are some of the Prabhava avatars. So Avesha, Prabhava, the Vaibhava incarnations display more superior potency than the Prabhavas, and some of them are Matsya Kurma, Naranarayana Varaha, Hayashirsha, Prishnigarbha, Balabhadra, Yajna. Even more powerful are the Paravastha avatars, Nrisinga, Rama, and Krishna, who each exhibit more power than the others. Now, this is detail, because we say Vishnu Tattva, it's all the same. They're all the same, but they don't exhibit all of the same potencies in these different names. Sanskrit terminology indicate degrees of the superior potency. And Lord Krishna alone is the source of all incarnations and no other incarnation can supersede him. This is Lagva Bhagavatamrita. So there's a special position of Lord Nrisingadev and Lord Ramachandra. There are these six Shad Aishvarya, the six opulences. And we generally say, Bhagavan, he has all six opulences. And any one of these are in the category of Bhagavan. However, the six qualities are fully manifest in Nrisingha, Rama, and Krishna. Thus, they are considered Paravastha. The relation between the other two, Nrisingha and Rama, and Krishna is like lamps. Lit from the lamp of full six powers. This is Lagva Bhagavatamrita quoting Padma Purana. So we have this image, departure, Eva, from the Brahma Samhita. And Krishna is the original lamp from which the other Shad Aishvarya Purna avatars are manifest. The others have that potency, they just don't exhibit them in the fullness. That's the understanding I have, anyway, from what Rupa Goswami is expressing. One more point and we'll begin the prayers. Lord Nrisingadev appeared before the churning of the milk ocean in the reign of the sixth or Chakshusha Manu. He appeared before the appearance of Lord Kurma. It's again Lagva Bhagavatamrita reference. He displays abundant power. He gives joy to Prahlad. He destroys ignorance of the devotee. He is effulgent like the autumn moon. He possesses the head of a lion. In his mouth resides all eloquence. Upon his chest resides Goddess Lakshmi. In his heart resides knowledge. This is the references Lagva Bhagavatamrita, but he's quoting Sridhara Swami's commentary of Bhavarta Dipika. That's his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. His hair shook the clouds, his glaring eyes stole the effulgence of the luminaries in the sky, his breathing agitated the seas and oceans, his roaring caused elephants to cry in fear. Airplanes, probably not 747s. Or was this one that's crashed twice? Airplanes were thrown into outer space and upper planetary system. Earth appeared to slip from its position by the pressure of his lotus feet. Hills and mountains sprang up by his intolerable force. He was heavy, loud, fearful. Though ferocious, he is as cool as the moon for his devotees. This is some appreciation of Lord Nrisingadev, because this leads into the very first prayer. He was fierce with Hiranyakashipu. Though ferocious, he's as cool as the moon for his devotees. Here's commentary on our first prayer that we'll be discussing. Although very ferocious, the lioness is very kind to her cubs. Similarly, although very ferocious to non-devotees like Hiranyakashipu, Lord Nrisimhadeva is very, very soft and kind to his devotees like Prahlad. So, the first seven verses are prelude to, he begins his prayers with text 8. So try to do this quickly. The great saint Narada Muni continued. This whole seventh canto is being narrated by Narada to Yudhisthira. Starts with chapter 1, goes through the whole canto. The demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and other great demigods, dared not come forward before the Lord, who at that time was extremely angry. Now, who was that anger for? We know that Prahlad said the anger was for Hiranyakashipu because of his offense to Prahlad. And someone may ask, people do ask, you worshipping that? That's your god? So here's a quote. This is now from a summary explanation of the pastime in Prabhupada's words. Being checked by them, that's Jai Vijay, the sages cursed. Being agitated by the material qualities of passion and ignorance, you are unfit to live in the shelter of Madhudvisha's lotus feet, which are free from such modes. It would be better for you to go immediately to the material world and take your birth in a family of most sinful asuras. Now, what does the name Madhudvisha mean? Madhu is the demon that was killed by Lord Vishnu at the very, very beginning of creation. Madhu and Kaitava. Madhusudana is the name we normally hear, but Madhudvisha. So, the Kumaras, they're filled with the Lord's Gyan Shakti. So they know all this history. Even before them was Madhu and Kaitava. And Madhu and Kaitava were killed by Lord Vishnu. So you don't have any place in Madhudvisha's abode. So you may know, Prabhupada named one of his disciples in Australia, who was a GBC for a long time. Very, very effective leader. Prabhupada loved him very much, and vice versa. And his initiated name was Madhudvisha. So he tells a story that one day when serving Prabhupada, he asked him, what's the meaning of my name? And Madhu, Prabhupada said, Madhu refers to the Madhu demon who was killed by Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu towards Madhu was Dvisha. Or envious. And Madhudvisha Prabhu said, Prabhupada, how can Lord Vishnu be envious? He's the all-powerful controller of everything. How can he be envious? And Prabhupada's answer was, anything is possible for Krishna, any emotion in its perfect form. Everything that exists has its origin in Krishna, but there's no passion and ignorance. It's Shuddha. Shuddha sattva, pure transcendental anger. So there is such a thing as transcendental anger. Commonly, dvisha is inimical or being envious. But Krishna to protect his devotee, Prahlad assumed the form of Lord Nrsingadeva, and he was Dvisha. So they were afraid. Krishna also became filled with anger when Grandfather Bhishma was going to kill Arjuna. He picked up the chariot wheels, ready to smash him. So the Lord sometimes exhibits this feature of anger, because everything is possible in his pure form within him. It's a mystery. And impersonalists and moralists don't get it. And sometimes neophyte devotees don't get it either. But it's not a mundane anything. The mundane anything is existing in its pure form within the personality of Godhead. He exhibited his anger when Durvasa Muni was confronting Maharaj Amrish. And there's other examples. Here's Prabhupada explaining this principle. So, lecture on this first verse. These bad habits, kama, krodha. Kama means lust, krodha means anger. So if they are also coming from God, then how we can neglect it? How we can reject it? So there is no need of rejecting. That is the Narottam Das Thakur's. You cannot reject. That is not possible. As you are a living being, there must be kama, krodha, lobha, moha, matsarya. You cannot reject it. You cannot make it zero. That is impersonalism. But it has its proper use. That you have to know. Unless you know the proper use of everything, everything. Proper use means it must be used for Krishna. Then it is proper use. Otherwise, it is misused. So this reference to Narottam Das Thakur, he specifically explained not only Krishna, but the devotee. There's a proper use for this kram, krodh, lobh, moha, matsarya. With relation to krodha, krodha, bhakta, dveshi, jane. When there's dveshi towards a bhakta, appropriate is krodha. You don't take it. Just be, you know, peaceful. You speak up and speak something if a devotee is being criticized, or there's dvesha towards a bhakta. Anger is appropriate. Like he gives the example of Hanuman. When he found Sita, taught them a lesson, burned up the whole city of Lanka. And then he sat looking at the whole scene afterwards. Or another nice example, really good example, is Arjuna. When Arjuna came to know that Jayadrath, it's a long story, that Jayadrath was responsible for the generals that were ganging up on Abhimanyu to kill him. It's against the codes of Dharma. Arjuna became very angry. He took this terrible vow. Tomorrow, before the sun sets, I will kill Jayadrath. And if I fail to do that, I'll enter into fire. And the Kauravas were delighted, because there was no way they were going to be able to kill Arjuna. But if Arjuna kills himself, take care of the problem. And if Arjuna is killed, then all the other Pandavas will be discouraged. All they have to do is one thing, protect Jayadrath. So Krishna came to Arjuna that evening and said, Arjuna, why'd you take such a terrible vow? And Arjuna said, because I knew you'd protect me. And sure enough, that's what happened. There's details. Sure enough, that's what happened. Krishna ordered that Karna be killed by Arjuna. And when Karna protested, saying, what kind of religious principles are you upholding? You're having Arjuna shoot an arrow at me when I'm on the ground with no weapons. Similar to like what Vali was saying to Ram. Krishna is saying, who are you speaking Dharma? All of the so many activities you've done that are totally adharmic, you deserve the death penalty. Here it comes, you get the good fortune of being killed by Arjuna. I don't think we're going to get very far in these prayers. 20 minutes before 9. The goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, was requested to go before the Lord by all the demigods present, who, because of fear, could not do so. But even she had never seen such a wonderful and extraordinary form of the Lord, and thus she could not approach him. Now there's, you see these color coding things, the ones in red, drishtva tam mahad adbhutam. This adbhutam is this state of wonder. And it says that she had never before seen such a wonderful form. But how's that possible? She always serves the Lord. She certainly sees him. And is there not a form of Lord Nrisingadeva in Vaikuntha Loka? There certainly is a form of Nrisingadeva in Vaikuntha Loka. And she's the goddess of fortune at his feet. The Lord has unlimited forms and bodily features shown in that artist illustration. These are all situated in Vaikuntha, yet Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, being inspired by Leela Shakti, could not appreciate this transcendental form of the Lord. We'll hear some more about this Leela Shakti message. In other words, for the common man, the form of the Lord as Nrisingadeva is certainly unseen and wonderful. But for a devotee like Prahlad Maharaj, such a fearsome form of the Lord is not at all extraordinary. By the grace of the Lord, a devotee can very easily understand how the Lord can appear in any form he likes. Therefore, the devotee is never afraid of such a form. Because of special favor bestowed upon Prahlad Maharaj, he remains silent and unafraid, even though all the demigods, including even Lakshmi Devi, were afraid of Lord Nrisingadeva. So here's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's explanation, covering the first two verses of this chapter. In the 9th chapter, Prahlad, ordered by Brahma, approaches the Lord and offers prayers so that the devatas can approach him. What to speak of others, even Lakshmi could not calm Nrisingha. Prahlad, however, understood that Nrisingha was the embodiment of affection, although he was angry. though she had seen Nrisimha in a previous kalpa, and though Nrisimha is always present in Vaikuntha, the impression of not having previously seen or heard about this form was produced by the Lila Shakti in order to make everyone taste Adbhuta Rasa, the mood of astonishment. Interesting, huh? In nectar devotion, we find that there are five primary and seven secondary rasas. Adbhuta rasa is one of the seven secondary rasas. Astonishment. Adbhuta Shringha. So she was experiencing Adbhuta. Astonishment. By the influence of Lila Shakti. So that secondary rasas enhance and strengthen the primary rasa, although they temporarily cover the primary rasa, kind of like a tsunami covers the land, and then the tsunami recedes, then it's just back to normal again. So secondary rasas eclipse the primary rasa, and she, by the influence of Lila Shakti, that's one of Krishna's potencies, was astonished to assist the other devotees in similarly tasting Adbhuta Rasa. That's Vishwanath's explanation. Very interesting. Now, I don't know how long I should go. There's five more verses in this section. Should we stop because it's 8:45, and then just continue later, or should I finish? Finish at 9:00. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Here is the next verse, out of 7, number 3. Thereafter, Lord Brahma requested Prahlad Maharaj, who was standing very near him, "My dear son, Lord Nrisimhadev is extremely angry at your demoniac father. Please go forward and appease the Lord." Kupitam, extremely angry. So, on the left, that's Lord Brahma, and he is directing Prahlad to go before Lord Nrisimhadev, and obediently, taking the orders of his superiors upon his head, he's going before Lord Nrisimhadev, who is extremely angry. "O King, although the exalted devotee Prahlad Maharaj was only a little boy, he accepted Lord Brahma's words. He gradually proceeded toward Lord Nrisimhadev and fell down to offer his respectful obeisances with folded hands." So here's a nice image of Prahlad with his folded hands coming before, respectfully and submissively before Lord Nrisimhadev. So I put in big letters, Kripaya Pariplutaha and Kritabhayam. So we'll see the meaning of those words. When Lord Nrisimhadev saw the small boy Prahlad Maharaj prostrated at the soles of his lotus feet, he became most ecstatic in affection. That is Kripaya Pari Plutaha. He was ecstatic in affection towards his devotee. So imagine what that was experienced by Prahlad. This wave of ecstatic affection coming directed to Prahlad. raising Prahlad, the Lord placed his lotus hand upon the boy's head, because his hand is always ready to create fearlessness in all his devotees. That's this kritabhayam, creating fearlessness. That's Lord Nrisingadeva's appearance. He appears in that form not only to comply with the benedictions that were given by Brahma, but this is his form, granting fearlessness to all his devotees. Here's Prabhupada's lecture on this verse, Mayapur. So, to become devotee or favorite to the Supreme Personality of God, it is very easy. It's not at all difficult. Here we see the example, Prahlad Maharaj, 5-year-old boy, being a devotee. He only knows the Supreme Lord and he offered obeisances. That is his qualification. Anyone can do that. Anyone can come here in the temple and offer obeisances. Where's the difficulty? Simply one must have the sense that here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, or Nrisingadeva, or any one of his multi-expansions. In the material world, there is fear. The necessities of the material world are four: ahara, nidra, bhaya, and maituna. Eating, sleeping, defending, and mating. In this material world, everyone is in fearful consciousness. Sada samudvigna diyam. That phrase, sada samudvigna diyam, that's Prahlad. It's Prahlad speaking to his father, describing the condition of materialistic people. Sada, always. Samudvigna diyam. Their diya, their intelligence, their consciousness is always samudvigna, fearful. So how to overcome that fearfulness? The only means to make everyone fearless is Krishna consciousness. The devotee's hope of becoming fearless is to chant the holy name of Lord Nrisingadeva. Yato, yato, yamin tato, Nrisingha. Wherever we go, we must always think of Lord Nrisingadeva. And this phrase, kritabhayam, this hand was placed on Prahlad's head, creating fearlessness. Of course, he was already fearless, but now he's super fearless. Two more verses and we're done. Dutta kila shubha. By the touch of Lord Nrisingadeva's hand on Prahlad Maharaj's head, Prahlad was completely free from all material contaminations and desires, as if he had been thoroughly cleansed. Therefore, he at once became transcendentally situated, Paratma Darshana. Like Prabhupada uses this phrase, the Bhagavatam, Paratma Nishtam, Paratma Darshana. Transcendentally situated, and all the symptoms of ecstasy became manifest in his body, his heart filled with love, his eyes with tears, and thus he was able to completely capture the lotus feet of the Lord within the core of his heart. He was instantly elevated to Bhava Bhakti and Prem Bhakti. He was overwhelmed with ecstasy. seeing the Lord eye to eye, who can say what Prahlad's feelings were? And the final verse, Prahlad Maharaj fixed his mind and sight upon Lord Nrisimhadeva with full attention. Ekagra manasa susamahita susamahita. Complete trance. With a fixed mind, he began to offer prayers and love with a faltering voice. So the word susamahita means very attentive or fully fixed. It's the same as samadhi. The ability to fix the mind in this way is the result of yoga siddhi, mystic perfection, as it is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Jnana vastita tadgatina manasa pashanti yam yoginaha. Prabhupada quoted that so many times. One attains yogic perfection when he is freed from all material diversions and his mind is fixed upon the lotus feet of the Lord. This is called samadhi, or trance, straight from the purport of this verse. Dhyana vastita tadgatena manasa pashanti yam yoginaha. This, hearing those words, that vibration, it's, for me, I just have to think of Prabhupada because he spoke them so many times. And what is that stage of samadhi? According to Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, samadhi is beyond nirvana. Nirvana is something that's taught by Buddhism, but what's beyond nirvana is svarupena vyavastiti, the real life of the living entity. That we learn from Srimad Bhagavatam when Shukadeva Goswami is explaining what mukti is. Mukti is, he doesn't say it's beyond nirvana, but it's beyond nirvana. Nirvana is cessation, and mukti or samadhi, described in the Bhagavad Gita, it's the real life of the living entity, beyond what we're not. Who are we? One's negation, but what's our real activity? What's our healthy activity? Not knowing that, it just stops with negation. Prahlad Maharaj attained that stage beyond the senses because he was engaged in service. He felt transcendentally situated, and naturally his mind and attention became saturated in transcendence. In that condition, he began to offer prayer as follows. That's the end. Srila Bhagavan ki. Any discussion? Yes.
Maharaj, in one of the slides you mentioned Lord Nrisimhadeva appeared before the sixth Manu.
That's Laghu Bhagavatamrita.
I'm trying to understand, does Lord Nrisimhadeva appear in every Devi Yuga?
I'm not sure. It's multiple. It's for sure it's multiple. But every, I don't know. Yes.
It cannot be rejected but can be used in the service of the Lord. I was wondering how could Matsarya be used in the service of the Lord?
Well, You know the example of the iron rod put into fire? You know, yes you do. There's iron and there's fire, and they're different. But you put the iron into fire, it gets warm, warm, warmer, it becomes fire. You touch it to something, it ignites, it's fire. Although it's iron, it's become fire-like. So to do any of these things that kam, krodh, lobh, the enemies of the conditioned soul, unless one is in pure consciousness, then it'll lead to contamination. It is contamination, lead to further contamination. So to understand the principle, it requires pure consciousness. Hanuman had pure consciousness, so he could be angry and it's, you know, for service to Ram. So same for each of those, you know, lust. We use the word lust, but what's lust that's freed from the modes of nature? It's the affection of the resident in Vrindavan for Krishna, for example. And so we must not imitate, but the description, you know, for pure devotees is the gopis had lust for Krishna, but it's not a mundane lust. It's their senses are meant for the satisfaction of the senses of Krishna. They decorated themselves to please Krishna, not the other way. Tell you what, I'll do a little research and see what specific example Narottam Das Thakur gives, because he gives examples for each of the six. Because we're speaking about anger, he speaks of Hanuman as, for example, exhibiting anger. So now I'm curious to know what Narottam Das Thakur says about this one. I'll do that little research and let you know. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Yeah.